Good evening, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Brian Cross, and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before you start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent mode? So I do it myself. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from law and administration departments. Officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and there's a table at the front in the centre of the room. I will indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken at this meeting, which will be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as is enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, and together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Minutes, item one. Apologies.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Peter Jones, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Beattie, Councillor Pardesi, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Godfrey, and Councillor Phillips, who is substituted by Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you. Declarations of members' interests or lobbying. I have to declare I've been lobbied on the first application, 20/33243/FUL, and I believe other members have.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, all members have. I also have to declare that I actually spoke to the applicant several months ago in my capacity as a ward member. He invited me to visit the establishment to see how the welfare of his residents were. I declined at that time and said I would take it up once everything settled after the pandemic. Item four, delegated applications. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My father-in-law resides at Brookside, but I have had no more lobbying than anybody else. Haven't been even able to go in there for the last 18 months.
Thank you. So you treat the application as it is published. You haven't predetermined.
No.
Through you, Chair, I would advise that you declare that just as a personal interest. So it's recorded if your father-in-law resides at the property instead of the home.
You take note of that? Thank you. Delegated applications.
That's published on the website, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Planning applications. You turn to page 4 of your agendas. Yes, Councillor Speed.
Chairman, sorry, I should have declared probably under item 3 on the enforcement matter that's coming at the end. Do I do it then, or should I do it now?
Do it now.
I'm the ward member. I've been very closely involved over a period with that application and the subsequent enforcement. I have my own views on the matter, and I have undoubtedly predetermined the application, so I will stand down.
So you will not,
discuss
the application?
I won't discuss the enforcement matter, but because
all right, thank you for that, Councillor Beattie.
Councillor Aguilar.
On the application, the second application, I had a conversation about it, but nothing more than that. I'm not predetermined or anything.
Thank you.
No.
Okay. Now, page 4.
Application
20/33243/FUL. Address Brookside Rest Home, 159 Eccleshire Road, Stafford. Proposed rear ground and lower ground extension together with associated car parking to increase the capacity from 25 to 29 residents. I'll give way to our planning officer to present.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. Just before we start on the presentation of this application, which Darryl will do in a moment, you should all have had an email from me last night telling you that the government yesterday issued a new version of the National Planning Policy Framework. I printed copies of this afternoon, which the Chairman distributed at the beginning of the meeting. But what I want to highlight is there are several places in each report where it refers to specific paragraphs in the National Planning Policy Framework. So on the first application, on page 8, approximately halfway down, at the beginning of the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, it refers to paragraph 127 for the NPPF. In the new version released yesterday, that is now paragraph 130. There is no change to the type. Below that, it refers to paragraph 130. Paragraph 130 has been rewritten and now appears as paragraph 134 in the new version that you have in front of you. Then on page 9, at the beginning of the section that's called the effect of the proposal upon residential amenity, it refers to paragraph 8. Paragraph 8 is still paragraph 8 in the new plan, but there are changes to the wording of parts B and C of that paragraph. And then finally, in relation to the first application, on page 12, it refers to section 15 of the framework. Section 15 is still called Conserving and Enhancing the Natural Environment, but is now paragraphs 174 to 188 rather than 170 to 183.
Well, that page again, please. What page is that one again?
Page 50.
In the agenda, it's page 12.
Okay.
And it's 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, which refers to the framework in section 15.
What number is it actually in the book? Because you've got me totally lost. In the book that you've just given us?
Yeah.
What pages were you... Because it wasn't 8, 9 and 12 in that book. And I'm totally lost.
In your agenda, pages 8, 9 and 12. Sorry. What I'm referring to is I'm looking at your agenda. In the agenda, it quotes from paragraphs of the NPPF.
The 130, yes.
So what I was telling you, for example, we're on page 8, where it refers to what paragraph 127 of the NPPF, that is now paragraph 130 with the new version, etc. So the page number I was talking about is the page in the agenda.
Yes, Councillor Bede.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just ask John, do any of these changes make any kind of material alteration to the papers in front of us?
I think the simple answer is no. However, I can't quite say no in that where the paragraph has been rewritten, as in the case of paragraph 130, there's clearly a change in the emphasis on that. So the new paragraph 134 this is talking about development that's not well designed should be refused. I think a number of the policies, a number of the paragraphs have changed because in addition to the NPPF changing, there's the National Model Design Guide, and there's references to beautiful buildings and things like that which weren't in the original plan. So the wording has changed, but the meaning is the same.
Thank you.
All right.
You're satisfied with that, members?
Yep.
Good work out, Angus. Good evening.
Forgive me if I'm a bit rusty, I haven't done this for a while. Okay, this application relates to a further extension to the rear of an already extended care home. It has alterations internally as well to the layout so that it would actually create 7 additional ensuite bedrooms. Bedrooms were double room previous, but it's no longer considered a double bedroom.
So there would actually be a net
increase of 4 bed spaces from 25 to 29. There's also an amended car park layout to meet the additional requirements, and there's been no objection from the Highways Authority on the car parking or access arrangements. The application was called into committee due to concern of over impact on the neighbours' amenity, and there are also concerns that the design and form and massing, positioning and scale would harm the character and appearance of the area. We go through the slides now. The site's in a sustainable location. It's within the Stafford settlement boundary and it's bounded by residential development to either side. It's bounded by residential neighbours, development on both sides and on the opposite. There are other care homes. If you look at the plan, you can see the red line obviously is a site. Just opposite and slightly across is a further care home, and the sort of J-shaped building to the northwest is also a care home. Otherwise, it's mainly residential. The next building is a former house, or sorry, the one next door to the north is a former house, but it's now used by the NHS as offices. And the land to the rear, the south, is the Docks and Marshes Nature Reserve. It's considered that the neighbours to the south would be the most affected. In particular, there are 4 properties on a sort of little backland cul-de-sac, and 2 of those in particular would directly overlook where the extension is. You can see on the aerial view that the rear of the property is currently is garden, and there's landscaping along the boundaries where the new car park would end up being. Now I'll take you through the photographs. The first is taken from the site frontage. It's looking down the south side of the building adjacent to number 157 Eccleshaw Road, and you can see on that the access gates, those double gates, they would continue to provide access, and there will be a driver in along beyond that with the car parking on the left hand side, leading to a turning area at the bottom of the site. Image 2 is a general view of the front of the property onto Eccleshaw Road. And 3 is looking across the frontage towards the northern neighbour, which is the one that's used by the NHS. Image 4 is again looking across the siteage from the north down towards where the access is. This is a general view along Eccleshaw Road looking southeast. The next 3 images, 6, 7 and 8, are all taken from the garden of one of the pair of semi-detached houses that overlook it. On image 6 you can see the existing conservatory, and you can see the land is higher, so the ground level is higher. There's a gable, a tiled gable behind the conservatory, that would be the ridge line of the extension, so that would continue. and rather than having a floor above, the two-storey would be created with a basement below that, but it would, as it would extend most of the way across the garden, you can see. Most of the way across the garden, you can see in the foreground of the image, and it would be at that height. Image 7 is a similar view, slightly different angle, still looking back from the same garden towards the rest home. And on this image you can see to the right of the conservatory there's a sort of slanting window. That's an existing one, and that will be replicated a further three extending along to the rear, and they will be slightly larger. And the final image, that is a pair of semi-detached houses. The photos were taken from the garden of the one that's on the right, and this one is sort of just at the edge of the boundary to the care home looking back, and you can see that those properties do have quite large principal windows that would be looking directly towards the care home, and obviously the care home looking directly towards them. Moving to the plans, the first plan is it's a location plan and the general layout of the site. You can see on this that this is the existing layout, so there's the care home with the sort of
thinned windows and
the conservatory at the bottom.
The rear of it, and the extension would extend beyond that.
Can you lower your mic slightly, better, and you'll speak direct into it?
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, so, and then there's the location plan as well. Second image is, again, it's the existing floor plans and the elevations of it. And you can see the ridge line, the conservatory, and again, that main ridge line would be what would continue into the exit. The third plan is the proposed plan and elevations for the extension. And there you can see where the land slopes away from the existing projection at the back, so that you have the appearance of a two-storey extension. And you can also on that one see the car parking along the site boundary where there's currently landscaping and garden area. This is a larger scale showing the floor plan, the proposed extension. And then the final plan is actually with contours on, so again you can see how the contours are closer together, how it's more steeply sloping. And the lower of those is also has flood data, which is listed in, it's included in the report, that because it is partly in the flood zone, but there is no immediate danger of flooding the property, and it's all satisfactory in that respect. The recommendation is to refuse the application, for the reasons set out on page 60, basically relating to the impact on the neighbours and the impact on the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've got no objectors. I've got a supporter, Mr. Mandip Kera. Sir, would you like to step forward to the table? Make yourself comfortable. All you need to do is speak direct into the microphone. You don't need to touch any switches or anything. You have 3 minutes from when you start, and I shall notify you when you have 1 minute to go so you can sum up. Sal, whenever you're ready, sir.
Firstly, I'd like to thank Councillor Jonathan Price for bringing this to the committee and allowing Brookside to have a voice. Brookside is a fabulous care home, and we want to make it outstanding, so please help me. Stafford has already got a shortage of beds. We want to keep the elderly in Stafford and not let them down when they need us most. But we are not sustainable due to government changes. Our application is to provide the most vulnerable and frail with the quality of life we all want them to have. These facilities will allow our residents to live fuller lives and enjoy activities that they did in their younger years. It will mean no job cuts and a better experience for all of our excellent staffing team. Feedback from our neighbours has amended the plans various times to achieve a compromise which everyone can be happy with. We're pleased that our immediate neighbour has supported this application. However, unfortunately, another neighbour who I met with told me that they just would not like anything being built. I did highlight that there are houses being built on the other side of our home which have been given permission. Other applications in the local area have been granted approval by the planning department, and we feel they have not come under the same level of scrutiny as we have at Brookside. The officer's report states that the nature of rest homes means that occupants are mainly confined to their room for long periods of time. This is not true. Our culture is for our residents to lead fulfilled lives, socialising and interacting and using bedrooms to sleep. The officer mentions that Brookside will look out of place. The frontage of the home is what is viewed from Eccleshaw Road and will remain the same. The extension is purely on the rear end of the property, much like the nursing home opposite us, who were granted permission for a larger extension. All bedroom windows are angled to avoid directly overlooking neighbours. Our application is only an increase of 4 residents, but the extra joy it will bring to those we look after, I'm not able to describe. I'm aware that not many people like new buildings, but if you spoke to those we look after, I'm sure they will tell you that nobody enjoys getting old, suffering with dementia, and sometimes being seriously ill.
1 minute ago, sir.
We want to make the last years of our residents' lives as comfortable as possible and to support those who need us when they become most vulnerable and frail. This application will allow us to do so in an outstanding way. In conclusion, the only thing stopping this application is overmassing and 3 windows. Yet all consultees are happy. Please take a look at today's care homes. They need facilities to make them viable. And the fact that Bowlesville Nursing Home across the road got planning permission for a larger extension in 2018, and Brooklyn's house is about 3 times the size, which was built approximately 7 years ago, makes me question overmassing. On behalf of myself and all of our residents, thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir. You may resume your seat. Councillor Price, Ward Councillor. You have 5 minutes now when you're ready, and I'll notify you with 1 minute to go if you haven't finished.
Thank you. Good evening, Committee and Chairman. There's very little I want to say on this, I have to be honest. I've called in numerous applications over the years, and if the officers have refused them, I've always gone with the officer's decision, withdrawn. But on this particular occasion, I felt it appropriate that both Mendip and the staff at least have their day in court, which is why they've brought this forward to you today for consideration. It does impact on 2 of the residents quite significantly, and that is the main concern of mine. But on the other hand, we also look at the need for care homes. I appreciate this is around planning matters and not the fact that we're looking at a residential care home. And that's a secondary consideration. But it would be nice for the committee to at least give, as I said, Mendip and others the opportunity to at least have their day in court, as I've said before, and look at this document. I would like to say as well, and this isn't a planning reason or issue at all, and that's not what I am suggesting, but I do think that the work that both Mendip and his staff do in this particular care home is absolutely outstanding, and I think the care that they give, the compassion they show to their residents is absolutely fantastic. It is worth pointing out the planning application for 2018 that you mentioned for the care home opposite. I fought that application and it was actually refused for the planning. Unfortunately, it went to the Secretary of State, who then overruled us and that one went through. But that didn't actually overlook any residents' homes. Just the bottom of the garden. That's all I want to say. I'll leave up to the committee to make the decision. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. You may remain there for any points of clarification. I would point out that Brooklyn's house is not a care home, it's a retirement home.
Residents live and have facilities.
Apologies, Chairman. I meant Rose Villa, which is the building across the
road. I know it's Rose Villa, but I'm saying Brooklyn's house was mentioned as a care home, and it isn't. Councillor Kemp.
Yeah, can we ask the officers to put up the original plan and identify the old school for us? What was the old school? The old school is the large thing at the top, isn't it? Yeah, I have to be honest, I was a bit surprised when I saw this, because I thought that the use of the name Brookside,
Brooklands,
and that's Brooklands. And as you'll notice there, in actual fact, Brooklands must have built down in the lower garden, because that in actual fact is the level of the lower gardens. And our photographs we've got 7-8. Does any photographs that sort of look across towards Brooklands?
No, I don't think there's any in the presentation.
Any there. Well, that's the top of it, isn't it? That's the top. And if you think that compared with, compared on the map, they, I mean, I went on the visit to Brooklyn School. I went there when it was a school as well, but I went there when it was on a plan application. So I do know about the fact that the land drops away at the bottom.
Yeah, there's a football pitch there, wasn't there?
What a football pitch. And, you know, I have to be honest, I'm getting to be sympathetic towards this particular application compared to what's happened on the other side of the road.
But as Councillor Price said, the other application wasn't overlooked, didn't overlook neighbours' properties, this does.
Well, can't we have a look at the pictures then of the houses that are being overlooked?
Councillor Trowbridge, yeah.
Those are the houses. And what's that building on the other side there? If I've got a sort of asbestos roof.
It's garage, Sherman.
And the film is a garage, Councillor.
Yeah, former garage. Okay. Alright, thank you.
Councillor Trowbridge, you don't have to touch any buttons. Just speak into the mic.
I know, just bring it forward because else it cuts out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you bring up the plan view for me, please? It's the very first slide. So, looking at this, what's the name of that one? Rose Villa, the cross road, goes from the front right to the back. It takes up every bit of space. There's the tiniest, weeniest bit of garden in the corner, and then the houses either side are very small. Then if you look to the right of the building, at the right of your map view, you can see the houses that are all terraced all the way down, and I would say they're closer than those four in the back garden are going to be to this care home.
They're not houses, those little ones. They're the old coach houses or shed, you could call them sheds, basically.
They're sheds, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's only the ones alongside the road that are the actual houses.
So my question is, it says overmassing, and yet we can see two other huge buildings there that are obviously a lot bigger than this building. So I would like to understand why this one is overmassing. And I'd like to know the distance from the nearest house and whether the window is 45 degree, breaking the 45 degree rule. Because if it is, yes, you have a planning reason, but it's not in here, so I'm guessing it's not. It's overlooking the garden, not the actual window. So, is it breaking the 45 degree rule, and how do you come to the conclusion of overmassing, looking at the other two buildings, please?
Well, they are planning officers, that's about.
Chair, sorry if I could just add to that. Could you explain the 45 degree rule when I do?
Basically, it's the angle from a window that the building doesn't go beyond that 45 degree angle when you're looking out of the main window to something being built in the next property.
The as far as I'm aware, the 45 degree is more to do with light than looking and privacy. The houses are approximately 20 metres from the care home, so they would be within the range that's not acceptable in the Southern Country Planning document. So they would have a loss of privacy because there would be windows within 20 metres of their rear windows.
May I come back? 20 metres is acceptable. You've just built on Burley Fields right up to the garden fences and they'd only got 14 metre gardens.
We're not building these houses though.
We've accepted it here for those to be built. That is what I meant to say.
The fact that these are already houses that have all of their principal windows and they would have an expectation to enjoy privacy from those windows, and then to put the care home the full width of those windows so that all they see out of it would be the care home, it would inflict quite an impact on them.
Could you just show me back on the plan view then where this building will come to, where the end of the building will come to?
Approximately the full width of those two. The pair of semi-detached houses set at an angle, and they've got their two gardens, and it will come approximately to the width of those.
Would it be better if we asked John to indicate it on the map, because there's no pointer.
Half of the length. So what Del is just telling you is approximately this location.
Well,
here.
Yeah, thought so.
And the two houses that she's referring to. And these two here. These are the two that you've seen the photograph of.
Yeah.
So if the extension came to approximately there, it would be the entire outlook.
And it's also the fact that where they've currently got a landscape bank and garden area, they would no longer have that. They'd have their garden, anything in their garden, but the landscaping and the planting along the boundary would be taken out and replaced with car parking. So that would emphasise the view rather than having quite a soft, open view of green and sky. They'd see an extension with car parking against it.
Couldn't we insist on high fencing?
Well, then they'd have a view of the high extension with fencing that's high, so it still would impact on them where they're currently seeing a green, a rural outlook of greenness and sky.
The bit I really don't get here, we had an application here a couple of weeks back, which we're going to a site visit, which was a care home, which was built edge to edge and right to the back. It didn't have enough car parking, it didn't have an ambulance space, it didn't have turning, it had windows all the way down the side overlooking two houses, and it was acceptable, and yet that was a nursing home where they're in the beds all the time. And yet this one, I can't see the continuity. I really can't see the continuity.
But we're discussing this application as it stands, not other applications that are still to come forward. Councillor Beattie indicated.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I've got other people there.
My colleague said all the things I was going to say.
I've got Councillor McEwen, Councillor Edgeworth, and then Councillor Hood.
Mr. Chairman, is it possible that we have a height differential between the gardens of 155, 157 and the first floor level of the proposed extension? Or you can go with the ground with a damp proof course level of 157, 155 and the first floor level of the proposed extension. I know we can see the differential there, but I just wondered what it is.
I don't
don't think we've got the heights on here. No, all we've got is the photographs looking back from the houses.
If I just may, Mr. Chairman, what would be the problem in putting fencing along that boundary there?
Well, the fence would slope down with the thing and you would still see the extension above the fence, unless it's going to be a 20 metre high fence.
No, I didn't mean to hide it altogether, but just in terms of the impact of privacy for those gardens, and how high are those windows on the first floor level as compared to the garden level?
You can see one of the existing windows on the nursing home as it is now, to the right of the conservatory.
That's it, yeah.
That's probably the best image of it, and so the new window would be the same height as those.
Chairman, I just say, having had three children at Brooklyn School, they used to go sledging down that slope, so it's pretty steep.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Right, Councillor Edgeworth.
Thank you very much, Chairman. What I'd like to say, actually, all right, I appreciate all the good work that's been done, and we do need more beds for the elderly, you know, but what concerns me, actually, is the parking situation. You know, we talked about the overlooking, but the parking situation really concerns me, because I visited that home a few years back, actually, and it was a real situation then with the parking situation. I just wondered where, just clarify for me, where the ambulance parking would be. Is it right at the front of the building, and would there be ambulance be able to get in and out with success? Because that really does concern me, the parking situation. And also, I'd like to ask two questions, actually, to clarify. Would the social area in that home be enhanced as well, because if you've got more people in there and you've got a social occasion or anything, would the social area be enhanced? And also, if it was passed and we've got more staff, would they also be trained in dementia friendly? Because we've got to think about health and well-being when we're talking about planning now. So I ask those two questions, but what concerns me is the parking situation. That really does bother me.
Well, page 11 of the report indicates the highway authorities accept the amended park car parking as satisfactory.
And the ambulance bay, you can see on this image that's on the screen, it's on the front, there's sort of in-out driveway, and the ambulance bay is between those two axes onto the highway.
Where, sorry? Thank you.
Councillor Hoy?
About the two other questions, Chairman.
I'll wait for the planning officer to come back with an answer to those.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I'd just like to add a little bit of humour to this, that I'm very disappointed that my colleague, Councillor Kemp, has not spotted the typo on page 15, which talks about the wildfire that uses Doxy Marshes. I presume they mean wildlife. I don't know whether Councillor Kemp heard me.
I hear you. I didn't notice
that. Oh, unusual. Chairman, I'm worried about the size of the extension, which looks to me as though this is going to be taking most of the garden away. I'm a little confused that this is not a care home, it's a retire home. Yet the gentleman who spoke talked about the residents who have dementia. So I presume that they are, some of them are at a stage where they have to be careful 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So is there anywhere for them to go out and get fresh air? Because if this extension is so large, then, you know, I worry about the fresh air that they should be getting. So at the moment, I'm not feeling that I'm sympathetic towards this development. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Did you have the other answers for Councillor Edgeworth?
There was a question to do with the training, which really isn't a planning issue. We don't know whether they'll be trained. That's in the management of the care home. What was your other question, please?
About the ambulance, wasn't it, and about the training, and oh, I know, the social area.
Yes, the layout does include there's a lounge area at the end of that extension.
Right, okay. Would that be it just again?
Councillor Jones.
Yeah, I think reading the report, it's clear that there's a degree of support for the proposal, but I think the impact on those who are objecting is reasonable, and I think we do need to take that into consideration. And I understand that has been the basis of refusal. It is very well, the pictures that have been shown has shown that it is a quite a significant impact on the two houses, and I don't think that's reasonable, and I think I will be voting in favour of a refusal.
So are you proposing that we refuse it in accordance with the officers?
I am.
It's proposed by Councillor Jones, seconded by Councillor Ager. I've got Councillor Trowbridge and Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm understanding that this isn't as big as the other care homes. It's ticked every box as far as highways, Natural England, everybody else. But because of those two houses overlooking the garden, which will have their views blocked, or the windows that are at the end looking into their gardens, whichever way it was. Why don't we just put a condition on to have those two windows at the bottom obscured, which we've done 101 times before, and insist that it's a large fence along there, that it's a 7 foot high fence. Looking at this compared with other things that I've looked at, I don't feel it's fair.
Thank you. Although we are deciding things in accordance with our local plan and the NPPF.
But we have insisted on obscured windows before and extra fencing. We've done that in this committee.
But it'd be more than two windows because it's a two-storey extension. So there's upper and lower.
Four windows. I'm sure the lower ones wouldn't be overlooking. But four windows then.
Thank you. Councillor Cooper.
Yeah, I'm a bit not sure about the fact that you're saying there's a loss of what you described as amenity by not having the view from the existing gardens. There are countless developments built at the back of people's gardens, and fences erected where there were once hedgerows in residential areas and others besides. I was understanding, maybe wrong, correct me, Chairman, if I am wrong, that a right to a view isn't necessarily a planning consideration.
Can you answer that one, Jim?
Yes, Chairman, loss of a view isn't a material planning consideration, but I don't think the reason for refusal refers to loss of a view. I think if I just look at the reasons on page 16, the second reason is in relation to the properties 153 and 155. So, proposed two-storey extension by reasons of its excessive length, scale, massing, design, and orientation of bedroom windows towards 153 and 155 Eccleshill Road
would result in an unacceptable level of overlooking and a consequent loss of privacy to the occupiers of those properties, thereby harming the community. So it's not loss of a view, it is the overlooking and effectively the loss of privacy.
So just to clarify, I was reflecting on some of the comments that fellow councillors have made on that one. Yes, I think you were taking into that comment by an officer, John, about the overlooking. I'm not, with the windows angled as they are, and with those properties concerned set back also at an angle, yes, part of the garden may be overlooked, but that's not unusual for gardens to be overlooked by, again, countless houses. So, my personal opinion is I can't see a problem with this application. It's certainly not overmassing compared to the other developments that have been highlighted. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Chairman. It does say in the conclusion it's acknowledged that a large single-storey extension was granted granted permission previously for a similar design, so it's already had the planning permission. Can the officers say what is different about that? I grant you there's a sort of balance of material considerations don't outweigh the planning policies, but if it was granted permission before, why is it not being granted permission this time? And I actually agree with Councillor Cooper on the points in relation to the windows as well.
Understanding from this that the Cairn have had two extensions approved on the rear before, both of which have been built. One was a smaller one and then there was a much larger one, I think in 1997. But I'm not aware of anything, I'm not aware of anything that wasn't implemented.
So that what you're saying is that refers to the original extension.
Yes.
Yeah. We hope that that's what I say. We hope, but it's not at all clear.
Can you speak to the mic, please, councillor?
I said it's not at all clear that because the implication is that there was a previous application.
Thank you, councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. We seem to be discussing many other applications as a reason that this planning application should go ahead, when it's my view that no other application has anything at all to do with this. It concerns me greatly that we're discussing putting a high fence and obscuring windows. These are elderly people who need a clear view. Their minds need to be stimulated. They need to be seeing what's going on. So I think it's dreadful that we're even considering as a condition that if it is granted permission, that we would obscure their windows and build a high fence. I'm sorry, that is not acceptable. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Well, I've got a proposal and a second here. Proposed Councillor Jones, seconded by Councillor Edgula, that we refuse this application as per the officer's recommendations. All those in favour, will you please show? Six. Those against? Four. The application is therefore refused as per officer's recommendations. Thank you very much, members. So we will now turn to page 18 of the application. Okay, members. Application 21/33774/COU, land adjacent to Rose Cottage, Halstone Lane, Horton. Proposal, change of use from chemical treatment and processing agricultural seed to farmers, Class B, to storage and supplying bulk aggregates direct to the construction industry, bracket sui generis. Good way to our planning officer who will present the application.
Thank you, Chairman. As I did with the previous application, I need to draw your attention to changes to the National Planning Policy Framework. This one is a little bit more straightforward because although there are more references, most of them have not changed. So first of all, looking in your agenda at page 19, you will see in the bottom section there is reference to paragraph 83, and then in the following paragraph, that's in the following paragraph to paragraph 84. Paragraph 83 is now paragraph 84 in the new version, and paragraph 84 is now paragraph 85. In both cases, there's no changing to the wording. Those two paragraphs are also referred to on the following page, page 20, and then on page 21, you'll see midway down there is four paragraphs listed, 124, 127, 128 and 130. Paragraph 127 is now 130 with no change. Paragraph 128 is now paragraph 132, again with no change. Paragraph 124 is now paragraph 126, and it simply added the words beautiful and sustainable when it's referring to houses. Paragraph 130, the last one referred to there, is, as I said on the previous application, that's been rewritten, and it's a new paragraph 134. Then finally, on page 22, the two references under the highway section to paragraphs 105 and 106, those are now respectively paragraphs 107 and 108, neither have any changes to the wording.
Thank you, John.
So, in terms of this application, this is an application for change of use of premises that were until recently occupied by RESO for processing agricultural seed. It's proposed to, for a use for the storage and supply of bulk aggregates. The proposed use makes use of the existing site with the removal of two buildings and their replacement with nine aggregate bays. Two of the other buildings will be used for car parking and the overnight parking of lorries. The proposed operations are described on page 19 of your agenda, and would involve the use of two rigid eight-wheel lorries, one forklift and one digger. The vehicle movements are anticipated to comprise one delivery per day and three return journeys for each of the two lorries. The proposal is a reuse of an existing rural employment site, which will be reused without extension or significant alteration, and is thus acceptable in principle. The development would not lead to an unacceptable level of visual change. In respect of residential amenity, the Environmental Health Officer considered the proposed hours to be acceptable and recommends no conditions relating to noise and dust. Parish Council advised that they do not wish to speak on the application but wish to reiterate their comments. And these you can find quoted on page 24 of the agenda. So you can see the site boundary, red edge on the screen. What you will see is that some of the adjoining buildings are outside of the application site. I'll come to those in a moment. This is the aerial photograph. You can see the yard area and the buildings within the site.
There's a total of 6 photographs, 2 taken from the road frontage and 4 within the site. The first photograph is looking in a southerly direction at the entrance. You can see there's a wide sort of bell mouth entrance off the road, and the gates are set back. Looking in a northerly direction, you can see how far back the gates are from the road, so a vehicle could pull clear of the highway if the gates weren't open. The next 3 photographs are applicant photographs, and you'll see that they're annotated. Now, there's a reason for using these photographs, because they refer to particular building numbers, which we'll come on to in a moment. But this is a view from the yard. You can see part of the yard area in front of it, and you can see the gates on the left-hand side of the photograph, which are the same gates that you saw on the last 2 on the entrance. Building 1, which is clearly labelled, is proposed to be used for car parking. Now, image 4 is looking from the yard in a southwesterly direction. It shows building 2, which is to be retained. You can see a vertical yellow line which shows the limit of building 2, and everything to the left of that is outside of the application site. This is a photograph taken when the site was in its previous use. You can see a number of vehicles there, and you can see the buildings labelled 3, 4 and 5. Building 5 was a double-deck porter cabins that were used for offices. That has now been removed. And image 6 shows what is referred to as building 6. That building, the white coloured building, would also be removed as part of this proposal, and that is that and where the porter cabins are would be the location of the aggregate stores. You can also see a reddish coloured container to the right. That again is outside of the application site, so the boundary is just alongside that container. Moving on to the plans, Plan 1 shows the layout arrangement, so you can see the site boundary. You can see at the front near to the entrance, there are a building with 3 cars in it. That was building 1 that you saw in the photograph. You can see the entrance arrangements, the room to manoeuvre and turn a lorry within the site. And you can see the location of the aggregates holding areas in the top corner of the site. This is the plan that related to the building numbers. So 1, 2, 3 and 4 stay, 5, which was the porter cabins and has already gone, and then 6, which is the smaller building which would go. This shows in more detail the size and the location of the aggregate bays. And the last 2 images. This is an impression of what the bays would look like from the yard area. And the final photograph shows an example of what they would be constructed of. Effectively, precast concrete panels slotted into steel holding. You see, Chairman, that the application is recommended for approval, subject to the conditions listed on page 25 of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I have no objection. I've got a supporter, Mr. James Hitchener. Would you care to step forward, sir?
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable. All you need to do is speak direct into the microphone. You needn't touch any buttons or anything. Start whenever you're ready. You have 3 minutes, and I'll let you know when you have 1 minute left.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening. I'd like to introduce myself as James Hitchener, the applicant. I'd like to start by saying that I haven't noticed any objections from the local residents on Austin Lane regarding this application, as I can only assume that they have been used to heavy goods vehicle traffic, as the previous occupant ran 10 plus heavy goods vehicles for 30 years or more. I'm proposing this aggregate storage yard as a one-man outfit where I will run one rigid heavy goods vehicle. If business growth allows, I would consider taking on a member of staff and running a second heavy goods vehicle once the aggregate bays have been built. That will also reduce the capacity of the site for further growth over and above what we've already stated. 99% of my work is in Stafford or Newport. The short 500 metre journey from the site to the A518 junction adjoining me to the major road networks. The Highways Authority have raised no objection to the application, presumably due to the reduced vehicle movements and vehicle sizes compared to the previous occupiers of the site running Arctics. In response to some of the Parish Council comments raised, I believe I have already addressed their points regarding the following trading hours that we originally stated with our application for. It's an aggregate yard, not a waste yard. My heavy goods vehicle is smaller and lighter than previous occupants' vehicles, and the assessment for the dust nuisance is a condition to be approved as agreed by Stafford Borough Council. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You may remove your seat. I've got the ward councillor,
Councillor Winnington.
Get step forward, take seat. You have 5 minutes from when you start, Mark, and if you haven't finished, I'll let you know when you have 1 minute to go.
Thank you very much. It's working.
Just pull it forward and speak direct into the mic.
Right. Oh, there we go. Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening. This is a difficult application for me. It's a rural enterprise, and anyone who knows me will know that I'm really keen that we support rural enterprise. However, within the area that this is proposed, we've already got a strawberry processing plant and a milk processing plant. Both started off small, and both grew exponentially, and as the planning officers will know, they've got the scars that the local residents didn't take well to too much growth in one area. And I have been approached by residents who said that they're quite happy for the sort of enterprise that James has already alluded to, but they don't want it growing exponentially. So really, there's three things that I've been asked to sort of ask. First is, Alston Road is a small rural road. It does suffer in the winter in particular with water and potholes, and HGVs don't help. So is there, when it's been proposed that there's two HGVs, first question is there an upper limit on how many will use it in the future if the business starts to increase? Secondly, in that area, and James will know what I'm talking about, there is a history of bonfires and small-scale waste transfer processing going on, and is that covered strongly enough in the conditions to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future? And thirdly, in terms of travel plans, is there a travel plan which says it should go one way or the other, the traffic?
You've 1 minute to go, Mark.
That's my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
You may remain there for any points of clarification. Thank you. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you show me, I've seen the red edge on the photo plan. Is that all of his land, the red edge, or is that just where things are changing? So I'm just trying to pick up Mark's point here about the it growing, that's all.
The red edge that you can see on the screen is the application site.
I don't know whether the applicant owns or is, I don't think he owns at present, I think he's looking to either acquire or lease this land. But anything outside of the Red Edge would need a separate planning permission in any case. Because, as you can see, the Red Edge on the screen, you've seen that with the photographs, that's the extent of the existing area. Everything outside of that is a sort of rural trees, grass, things like that. So any expansion that Red Edge would need a planning permission.
So I'm kind of guessing it couldn't grow to the 10 HGVs it used to have. I'm only assuming that, but...
Looking at that layout, you certainly wouldn't get them in. Because you constructed the aggregate bays in the top corner of the site, you've got to be able to turn the vehicle within the site. So, I mean, that's showing sort of two heavy goods vehicles there. You couldn't get much more than that and be able to operate.
That makes me happy about that bit. And the travel plan. Have highways suggested that they go one way?
No.
There's nothing we could do on that bit then. I'm quite happy with this application. Thanks
for chatting.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Edgeworth. Thank you, Chairman. Well, having read the report and listening to the comments from the gentleman and knowing that there's not going to be as much traffic using that lane as there was before, and also the fact we're looking at a rural area and looking at it might create another job or two jobs, I'm quite happy with this and I'm recommending that we accept it.
You're proposing that, are you?
Yes, I am.
That's seconded by Councillor Beattie. Anyone else wish to discuss this matter? Councillor Cooper.
I'm just reflecting on the fact that it's in a rural area and there's concern on traffic. I mean, if you're heading for the A51, I estimate it's something like 800 metres, certainly less than a kilometre before you're actually on the A51 from the site. So it's not like you're driving down loads of lanes to get to any main thoroughfare.
Thank you. As the applicant said, the previous user was 10 heavy goods vehicle. Transits for this operation, and we'll be having one. Councillor McEwen.
Mr. Chairman, just
one question before you go to a vote. On the remainder of the site, does the existing use continue on the remainder of the site?
No,
it's processing of chemical treatment and agricultural seeds, or has that ceased to be?
No, it's a change of use of the application boundary. So everything within the Red Edge is part of this application.
Yeah. But did the operation for the chemical treatment happen exclusively within the Red Edge, or did it go beyond the Red Edge?
As far as I'm aware, it's within the Red Edge, but that's as far as I'm aware. If you look at the photograph, I think that one sort of illustrates how the operation operated, at least in some ways. The officers were in Building 5, the double stack porter cabin. You can see there was sort of warehousing type of thing in the Building 4. I think some of the process took place in Building 3, and then there's Building 2 to the left of that. So as far as I'm aware, that operation was entirely within this boundary. But I understand why you're asking the question, because as you can see from the Red Edge, there's one or two buildings that are outside, although they border onto this, but I think that forms part of Rose Cottage, or the farm there.
Thank you. Councillor Winnington, as well, Councillor, you're going to clarify that point.
Yeah, just some local knowledge, really. The processing area does extend outside the red line, because the resale, as it was, that's now called Agri, actually did the processing on farm, so that was really a storage depot for the vehicles and for the products. And just to reassure Councillor McEwen, they're now on Hickson.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Winnington. Any other councillor wish to speak on this? No, I would approve the proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation as per the conditions listed. It has been seconded. All those in favour, please show. That is unanimous. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Percy.
Thank you, councillor. You may go. You may retire now if you miss. If you miss them.
Thank you.
Right. Page 28, members, appeals. One 20/335 92, which is a committee of refusal, alteration and extension to single story dwelling. That appeal that would go forward to appeal. Decided appeals. The main one, I think, that will have an impact on most of us is the land at El Close Trinity Fields. This is one of our green spaces that have been snapped up by people wishing to develop it. And the view of the inspector is that we should retain these green spaces, which will give us ammunition. I think we can always quote this if we ever get any more applications. Mm-hmm. So, as a ward member, I'm delighted to see that. The other one dismissed, redundant cow shed at Manor Farms. Change of use from storage building to single personal accommodation was dismissed. And Green Gable, retention of single story, implement story building, the appeal was allowed. Anyone wish to comment on any of those appeals? Or we move on to the enforcement item.
Chairman, this is the item that I will not participate.
Thank you, Councillor Beattie. Right, page 37, to consider a report, the COND/0028/EN19. Splatsmith Cottage, Ambulance Wings, Western. John?
Thank you, Chairman. Some of the committee will recall the report that went to committee in May of last year. It was the first virtual committee meeting that we did. That considered an enforcement report in respect to the failure to comply with Condition 11 to remove a gate within the southern boundary of the site, thereby blocking the path onto Green Road. Just if you look on the screen, so the path that we considered in that report last year is the green line going from the bottom of the application site to Green Road. So effectively, committee resolved to not take enforcement action to block up the path so that that enables pedestrian access from the site to Green Road. What we're considering in this report is the Section 106 agreement and Condition 9 of the same mission, which required an alternative footpath to be provided, not to Green Road but to Furlong Close. So this is the sort of double red line coming down.
Easy if I show you. So here. This.
So that footpath has never been provided. The footpath along the green line was provided instead. You resolved as a committee not to take enforcement action against that last year. Therefore, what we're recommending in here is that it's not expedient to take enforcement action to provide a footpath to Furlong Close or to enforce the Section 106 agreement in relation to that footpath. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members wish to speak on this?
Can I just ask one question? Sorry, because I'm not aware of this. So you're saying the red line was meant to, the footpath was meant to be put in there to take you to the back of the orchard site, but he didn't do it. He just, he put, it looks like going through someone's house. Is that his house then?
Yeah, at the time the applicant signed the section 106 agreement, he owned the property. But he doesn't anymore.
But it is a clear pathway, so it's defined as a path.
No, the red line isn't, no.
No, I meant the green line.
I'm sorry, I do beg your pardon, sorry, I was talking about the red line. The green line is there. I don't know whether we've got a photo. No, we haven't got a photograph of it, but on the committee, the presentation to committee last year, we showed you a couple of photographs of that route. And yes, it's there, and it's capable of being used.
Yeah. I have a proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation that no enforcement action is taken. That was Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Edgeley.
Yeah.
All those in favour? Against any? That is carried.
As per the officer's recommendation. Page 42, members, is the
enforcement quarterly report.
Quick to notice, Chair, that the level of the,
Can you speak into the mic, please, Councillor?
Sorry. It's good to note that the number of enforcement cases outstanding has reduced quite significantly in the quarter, particularly in June.
Yeah, I think this is due to a push that was done by one of our retiring enforcement officers to clear up some of the backlog. Councillor Kemp.
Yes, I was going to make a comment about that, but in actual fact, I wonder what the final figures will be when Eddie retires. Because having had that message today, you know, I feel quite honestly that the place will be empty without him.
Yeah,
I mean,
that.
So, I think that actions are being taken to get more enforcement officers. I think John might be able to confirm that.
Yes, Chairman, we have for a few weeks now a temporary enforcement officer in place who's been out visiting some of the new complaints that we've got. What we've done is we've given the new cases to her and to enable Eddie to make the best use of his last few weeks in sorting out some of the older and more complicated ones. We've also appointed to the vacant post as well. We have a candidate who will be in post in about 3 weeks' time. So, and that's before Eddie finishes.
Thank you, Dan. There's nothing else, members. Thank you very much for your time. The next meeting, John, is 2 weeks' time? Will be in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.
Meeting is closed.